Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, let's look at the book of 3 John. Yeah? Turn to 3 John, this is our final chapter. Okay, now here, this epistle is written to Gaius, right? Now, you know, some people said, you know, the book of 2 John, yeah? I mean, the book of 3 John was written after the 2 John, not long after the 2 John. You know, it could be actually, there are two sections, yeah, to a letter and later on divided into two, right? Or some says, you know, it's a separate epistle altogether. Okay, now look at verse 1. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Again, you see that, okay? John kept stressing on the importance of truth, right? Now, so if we want to love, then we have to do so on the foundation of the truth. And for us to love, you find that, you know, we must first be immersed in the truth. And like what we say, that we must be sanctified by the truth so that our motive, yeah, is right before God. Yeah, it's right before God. And in this way, you find that we can truly love one another. Okay? Now, let's look at verse 2 to verse 4. Now, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosper. These are words of greeting, yeah, and words of blessing. Okay, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Now, again, yeah, John is talking about the truth that Gaius, yeah, has been practicing. And John said it very clearly, this truth actually is in him. Right? Now, not only in him, and he also walked in, you know, the truth. Okay, now, so you find that if the truth is not in the person, it is highly unlikely for him to walk in the truth. Okay, now remember I told you a verse yesterday. It was mentioned by Peter, okay, that, you know, the church, the believers are established, what, in the present truth. Remember that verse? Okay, we turn to 2 Peter. All right? Now, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Yeah, for this reason I would not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Okay, you find that Peter was trying to remind the church, remind the believers, yeah, you know, about the truth that they have received, even though they has been established by the truth, established in the present truth. Okay, now, so I think it's quite clear the truth is not given to change. Right? The truth does not evolve. You know, the truth is very different from human ideas. You know, human ideas evolve. Right? They say from bad to good, you know, from very rough to being very fine. Right? Idea has to be refined. But the word of God is different. Yeah, once it is given, and it remains forever. Okay, it's, again, we said it's not given to change. Right. Now, you know, there's a question probably we need to explain since we got a bit of time, and it's related to the truth. Yeah, I want you to read. Uh, Colossians. We turn to Colossians chapter 1. Yeah? Right? Colossians chapter 1, we read verse 9 and verse 10. Right? Now, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to praise for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Right? It seems to suggest that, right, our knowledge of God, yeah, must be increased. Right? Now, how can we grow in the knowledge of God, and how do we define the growing of God's knowledge in one's life? What does it mean? Okay, now, I also want you to read Ephesians, right? We look at chapter 4, verse 13, okay? Chapter 4, verse 13. Now, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, right? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, here again, it talks about, you know, being united in the faith, come to the unity of faith. And Paul actually encourages, you know, believers to increase in the knowledge of God. How to safeguard ourselves while pursuing the knowledge of God, we are not, you know, like crossing the boundary of the truth. Okay, I think Ephesians chapter 4, the verse we have just read, is very important. And Paul says, first one, we must come to the unity of the faith. Why? Because if you read verse 14, yeah, so that we should no longer be children tossed here and there. Right? Now, Paul is like trying to safeguard the believers from being deceived. That's why he said, you know, the whole church must come to the unity of the faith. Now, it is important to grow in the knowledge, yeah, but there must be a foundation. And what is that foundation? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 to 22, that is the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. That's the foundation, isn't it? We build upon this. Now, when we build upon this, you find that when we continue to pursue, then you find that our knowledge about God will increase. Okay, now, class. Bear this in mind. Now, the increase of knowledge does not imply that, you know, what you are going to know is outside this foundation. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, that's why Paul said to the members at Ephesus very clearly that what? That you must first come together and to become united in the faith, right? So that you will not be deceived. He's saying that you need to be very careful. So, if that's the case, then we have to, there must be a foundation. And the foundation is in chapter 2. Is it clear? Right? Now, so on this foundation, anything that you receive must not exceed the boundary or the parameter of the truth. Okay? Now, I want to show you some verses. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We read chapter 3. Yeah? Chapter 3. No. We read verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Okay, Paul, and in the NKJV version, it uses the word doctrine. Now, Timothy had carefully followed whose doctrine? Paul's doctrine, meaning Paul must have taught him a certain set of principle. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? And not only that, Timothy had also carefully followed his manner of life, meaning the manner of life of Paul, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, okay, which happened to him at Antioch, right? So you find that Timothy not only followed the doctrine of Paul, he also followed his manner of life. Okay, now that's why you find that there is always what a clear foundation or a clear patterns, right? A clear set of principles must have been given to Timothy. Otherwise, how is he going to follow? Can't. Right? Now, so when we talk about the increase in the knowledge of God, this is on this premise that we keep pursuing the knowledge of God within the boundary. Okay? Like, for example, we talk about the one true church. Okay? Now, if we believe that there is only one church, when you search into the scriptures, you find that your understanding of the one true church increases. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? It cannot be the case that after searching into the scriptures, you don't believe that there is only one true church. That is like what? Shifting away from the right foundation. Is that clear? Hello. Yes. Do you understand what I am talking about? Right. We come back. Third John. Now, Third John. We look at in this chapter. Actually, there are quite a few characters are mentioned. Yeah, first is Gaius, and the second one is he's a good guy, and this. And the second is a bad one. Yeah. Okay, never mind. We look at verse 5 now. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who are the brethren? Eh? Brother and sisters. Brother and sisters. Okay, I want to read Revelation, yeah. Chapter. Let me see. Okay, chapter 12. Turn to Revelation chapter 12, we read verse 10. Okay, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Right? It seemed to suggest that when the term brethren is used, it means that those who are able to withstand what? Trials and tribulation and emerge victorious. Okay? Now, so that's the idea, okay? Now, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Now, who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Right? Now, so you find that Gaius actually was a very, generous person. Right? Now, so his good deed, his act of charities, was widely known by many people, right? So it's like here John asked him to send this brethren forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, the brethren and the strangers, right? Meaning to treat them well, okay? Now, verse 7, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. All right, we find that this group of people, the brethren, and the strangers, or whatever, right, they were truly for God, right? Whatever they did, was truly for God. Okay, now so Gaius says this kind of people should be received because they were like our fellow workers for the truth. Okay, now so you find that here it defines the meaning of the word brethren, right? Those who suffered for the truth, those who work for the truth, and those who what? Those who you know are willing you know to suffer for the sake of God's name or the name of Jesus. Okay, now we come to verse 9. Now this is a bad good guy or bad guy? Bad guy, yeah? Bad guy or good guy? Bad guy, okay. Alright, now here Diotrephes, he does not, you know, receive the workers of God. Okay, so now what John is going to do is that he would call to mind his deed, which he did, yeah? Now, not only that, you'll find that this guy here, right, actually talked nonsense against what? Against the workers of God with malicious word. Yeah? And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbid those who wish to putting them out of the church. Right? Now, quite clearly, this guy was with some sort of authority or position in the church. That's why he was able to drive, you know, some people out of the church. Yeah, when his own purpose was not accomplished by them. Okay, now you find that the deed of this person is that, he did not receive the apostle or the workers of God. Second, you find that he always talked nonsense, prating, talking nonsense, against the what? The apostle with malicious words. Meaning, you know, this guy always, always twisted the truth. You know, like cut and paste, you know. Whatever suit him, just cut and paste. You know, whatever is not suiting him, just remove, that kind of thing. Right? It's like conspiracy, false accusation, you know, stuff like that. Yeah? Very malicious. You know, the word malicious is like very venomous, if I can use the term venomous. It's poisonous. Okay? The poison, the mind of the people. This is the trick of, you know, of the false prophet. They always poison the mind. Once your mind is poisoned, that's it. It's very difficult to be cured. If you can't find an antidote to the poison, then you finish. Right? That kind of thing. Okay. Now, we come back. Verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Okay. Now, obviously, it's very clear by looking at the behavior, you know, the conduct of the false prophet, we can come to understand that what? These people are not of God. Because they have never seen God. If they have seen God, they would not have done evil against the church, would not have done evil against the workers of God. Yeah. Okay, now, the second person, apart from Gaius mentioned here, is Demetrius, has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. So meaning, whatever he did, the way he conducted himself, is in line with the truth. With the truth of God. And not only that, we find that people around him actually could bear testimony or bear witness of his good behavior. Right? And people around him know that, you know, the testimony from the apostle or from the workers of God is true. Right? Now, so you find that the integrity of the person, you know, actually can be known by people around. If you are a good person, there's no need for you to go around sounding your own trumpet, trying to draw attention, you know, to yourself, telling people how much you have suffered for God, telling people how much you have done for God, and telling people you know, how much God has been with you. You know, that is sounding your own trumpet. And this kind of people cannot be good, right? And they are not of the truth. They are not of the truth. Because the work that we do is not for ourselves. The work that we do does not belong to us. The work that we do belongs to God. Okay, so all glory must be given to God. Some people is very smart by, you know, by glorifying God, using the name of God, yeah, to boast of themselves. You know, telling people, telling the world, you know, what they have done. Right? This is the trick of the false prophet trying to poison the minds of the innocents. Yeah. So we find that here, very sadly, there's one guy called Diotrephes. Behave in a very malicious manner. Okay, now, verse 13. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Right? So I finish. I finish. You know. I think, how can I put it? When you are reaching the end, you would like to wrap it up quickly. I'll finish. Bye bye. That kind of thing. Is that enough? Oh, you want me to go on? Yeah. Yes. Why did he, you mean? Yeah, to expose, you know, that's why it's important. I think it's important. Sometimes you have to expose the wicked people. You know, otherwise, yeah, if you keep quiet, right? If you keep quiet, you know that they will not change. They would go underground and spoil more people. So that's why you have to warn the members by what? By mentioning their names. Now, I want to show you what's that? Turn to Titus, yeah. Titus chapter 1, okay. You see how Paul described, you know, a certain group of people. You know, he did not reserve anything. Okay, now chapter 1. Okay, I want you to first read verse 13. Now, this testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, who is Paul talking about here? Now, verse 12 here. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And Paul said this is true. Right? What? Rebuke them sharply. Some people has to be rebuked. Otherwise, they will not come to their senses. That's why, you know, this is a very difficult job. No one wants to do this kind of job, I tell you. But you find that in order to keep the purity of the church, yeah, we have to expose it. You're not afraid. Obviously, you have to be prepared for the attack. They'll come back on you, or they'll attack you. But I believe in this insofar as what you are saying is the truth and you are defending the faith, you are not talking bad about others, then you should be fine. Yeah, God knows. That's why, you know, on the first day I told you, if you know that someone is preaching, trying to preach to you something different, expose him or expose her. Have no fear. Okay? What? Not only for your own good, but also for the good of the church. Right? It's the courage that we need to have. Is that clear? Okay, let me see here. Now, we read another example and how the apostle actually exposed these wicked people by mentioning their name. Right? Now, we turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. We look at verse 17. And their message will spread like cancer. I think it's a very good word, a good term description here. You know, heresy is like a cancer. If you do not remove it at its earliest stage, what happens? It can develop into something fatal. Yeah. If you don't say, never mind. Yeah. By the time you want to get rid of it, it could be too late already. It's fatal. Right? You know cancer? Cancer kills. Yeah? Okay. Now, here it says, Herminius and Philetus are of this sort. Paul mentioned their names. No fear. Yeah, they have to be exposed for the good of the church. You get what I'm saying? Right? Okay. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to again revise a bit, but most likely they will not come out anyway. Hallelujah. Yes. Someone has been. Okay. Okay, no. There are two types, isn't it? Remember, I used a verse based on where? 2 Timothy. Can't remember. Yes. Now, when falsehood, infiltrate the church, you know, unfortunately, some people will be deceived, isn't it? Now, you find that some deceived later on turn into deceivers. You said these people, we don't have to pray for them. No need. Wasting time. Why? Because they won't change. But we save this. Yeah? Now, if a deceived person starts going around telling his own message or whatever, okay, and refuses to heed advice or whatever, we know that he's no longer a deceived person, he is a deceiver. Okay. Obviously we pray for the church. We have love for everyone. We pray. But we must do our job as well. Okay? Now, by keeping quiet, you find that our inaction can cause a lot of harm to the church. Right? Is that clear? Okay. Shall I go through some of the questions with you? But they will not come out. 2 John. Now, I may ask you a question like, what does it mean that, many deceivers have gone out into the world? What does it mean they have gone out into the world? Remember what I told you? They were of God before, or they were of God previously, and now they no longer embrace the faith that they used to believe in, and they have moved away from the foundation of the truth. Is like, according to 1 John, they have gone into the world because they are no longer of God. You understand what I'm saying? That's the idea. Is it clear? Okay. There's nothing much to talk about anyway. It's too easy. Just read through it yourself, yeah? So, what time is the test tomorrow? Now you can have 10 minutes to study, yeah? I finish. Let's pray together.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.